Merħba għal program Minajnejn Barrani fejn jiena Colin Fitz niltaqa' u niddiskuti pajjiżna ma' diversi persuni ta' nazzjonalitajiet differenti li għal xi raġuni u oħra għamlu lil Malta id-dar tagħhom. Campus 103.7, jiena Colin Fitz, dan huwa Minajnejn Barranin, l-ewwel episodju tat-tielet sensiela. U miegħi llum għandi xi ħadd mill-Polonja, persuna mill-Polonja li ilha tgħix f'Malta għal bosta snin. Qed nirreferi għal Julia Miller. Welcome, Julia.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Welcome and thank you for coming. Julia, how long have you been living here?
Now it has been more than 12 years.
Which part of Poland are you from?
I'm from Łódź, which for English speakers probably it's more known as Lodz because it's without all those funny Polish letters.
Yeah, so they make such a difference.
It makes Lodz, Łódź.
Absolutely.
It makes a difference, and it's exactly in the center of Poland, around 120 kilometers from Warsaw.
It's quite an important city, town, isn't it?
It used to be one of the second or third cities in Poland, but nowadays the population is much smaller. And thanks to, or unfortunately, the proximity of Warsaw is not always the best thing because many people can move there or work there and, and live in Łódź, for example.
But I seem to remember coming across that name many times when I read history, particularly World War II history. It was a city that saw a lot of, I don't know whether there were battles or pogroms or whether there was some sort of camp close by there. I'm not sure, but something in World War II, especially in the early part, in the first invasion from the German side, I believe.
Maybe it wasn't really that there were big battles, but actually Łódź wasn't that destroyed during the war because the Germans took it as a capital. They changed the name to Litzmannstadt.
So that was the thing.
And that's why it wasn't really that destroyed, thankfully. So we still have the architecture from before the war. But we had a ghetto, a Jewish ghetto. Mm-hmm. And from there, many people went to Auschwitz or Birkenau. So many actually Poles were brought to Łódź, and from there later on went by trains to the camps.
Yes. Yes, that's probably what I'm referring to then. Because Warsaw itself, the capital, was pretty much destroyed in the initial invasion and then in the uprising in 1944, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yes. Would a lot of Maltese visit Łódź? For example, I visited Krakow because there's, you know, a flight right there, and I visited all around salt mines. Auschwitz is not very far. A mountainous area with hot springs and like a splash and fun park type thing. So I've been to Krakow, and I know my brother's been to Warsaw. What about Łódź?
To be honest, Łódź is not really maybe in the top five touristic attractions in Poland because it's a town which doesn't have old town, you know, even though we have the old buildings in a type of art deco, but it used to be an industrial city. Okay. Actually, the city rights came much, much later than some even small villages around Łódź. So Łódź really came to life in the beginning of the 19th century when they started building factories. So we call it almost like a, you know, Polish Manchester because we have a lot of red bricks. We have nowadays the factories collapsed after the 89, after the communists and after being private. Mm-hmm. But we have plenty of red bricks buildings which are now changed into commercial center,
art center,
lofts, apartments.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's really cute how it changed. But it's maybe not an obvious place. I mean, Łódź is famous for the film school because we have a very good film school where Kieślowski, Zanussi, all the big names, directors and actors study. And it's one of the few which were first film school, not theater school, film school straight away.
Okay.
Many cameramen, even those I think who got Oscars and worked in the Hollywood, they come from Łódź.
I see.
So that's one thing. The other thing which is famous for it's an academic city, so we have a lot of high institutions. We have university, polytechnic, academy of art, film school, conservatory of music, etc. These are just the government one, and then there is plenty of private
schools and institutions.
But I think to to spot a Maltese person. To be honest, one time when I was with my husband, we spot one Maltese person.
Your husband who's Maltese?
Yes, in TK Maxx. And we're like, oh my God, Maltese in Łódź, in TK Maxx. It doesn't happen that often. I mean, because from Malta, we can fly to so many different cities in Poland. Mm-hmm. But Łódź is not one of them, even though we have an airport. You can fly to Warsaw, to both airports in Warsaw, and take a train, and it's like 1 hour 15. So it's still convenient, but it's maybe not the most obvious place. It's a city that you either like or not, because it's not cute. It's not as cute as Kraków or Wrocław. It has more the rough side, even though now after the change, after I think almost more than 30 years after the communism, the change is incredible. And
the industrialization.
Yes, how they change it for people to actually enjoy those spaces. It's amazing. And it makes a completely different look of the city. Okay. I think.
And it's a good process of gentrification. You're quite happy.
Generally,
with it.
Yes. I think it's not bad. Although, of course, there are always people who complain. It's like everywhere.
You can't please everyone.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But at least, you know, those factories are not just going derelict and destroyed. Yeah. They're actually having a second life, or later on some of the new architecture is matching that architecture.
Yes, that's very important.
So it's interesting mix of an old and new. And also what is good about Łódź, it has a lot of greenery. There are a lot of parks in the city center. It's quite friendly for bicycles, I think, and for walking, because it's quite compact, the city center, with very good public transport, so you don't have to worry about the car. It boasts opera theater, many, I think 5-6 different drama theaters, philharmonic, musical theater, you name
so
it.
For so cultural
for
reasons,
cultural reasons, it's very
it's
good.
Very worth a visit. Yes. It is worth a visit. It's that's like 1 hour by train from
exactly.
Warsaw.
Every day you have something happening, especially during the weekend. We have a lot of festivals. So there's a lot of going on, but maybe yes, it's not the first five you would visit in Poland. Mm-hmm. Maybe the views are not so breathtaking. Yes. Like if you go to the Tatra Mountains.
At this point, I'd like to say how large. Poland is a large country, isn't it?
It's very large. You don't realize.
You don't realize, but it is very populous and one of the largest countries in Europe, I think.
True. I mean, we used to boast more than 40 million population. I think nowadays more than 37. Mm-hmm. But still, to go from one place to another, I mean, coming from Malta, you don't realize how far it is.
Yes.
From Łódź to go to the seaside, it's 5 hours drive. To go to the mountains, it's 4 hours drive.
Gosh.
So, because it's exactly in the middle. So, thanks to that, it's actually quite good because it's easy to go everywhere. So, yes, it's a different city. Maybe not on an obvious tourist route, but still very interesting to see and see more real Poland.
Okay.
Not this one, the sugar-coated one. So.
And tell us a bit about your childhood growing up in Łódź. Mm-hmm. We'll remind our listeners that if they want to visit, you'd see it written down as like L-O-D-Z.
Exactly, that's
but
it.
But it's pronounced Łódź.
Łódź, yes.
Okay. Tell us a bit about your childhood in Łódź, in comparison to maybe the childhood you see happening here in Malta. What are the differences? What sort of homes did you grow up in? Did you have gardens? Did you have obviously probably more greenery? Tell us a bit about that.
So where I grew up, I mean, when I was until I think 3 years old, we used to live in a block of flats, which I don't really remember. But then for the majority of my teenage life or even later childhood, I grew up in a house with a garden. Mm. So I was very...
That's
privilege
nice.
In that sense.
Yes.
So for me, the biggest difference is that I had a really big garden and I would spend most of my time outside if I can. And it was not gated, but it was a safe place to go out. And many other neighbors had kids my age. So we used to spend a lot of time together outside when the weather was permitting. And despite the popular fact that Poland is cold and it rains, it's not really that bad. I mean, we have very nice sun. Summer, spring, and autumn, it rains, but you still can play outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of my, I think, connections that I always had a garden. I always had some animals, some dogs or cats. Always had some plants, even some fruit trees that we had. So it was really great in that sense. But
typical fruit trees like
So we had apples, pears, plums, nice. Sweet cherries. And then the bushes like those red currant, black currant, or different type of like berries.
Yes.
So
and this is just after the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the fall of communism, like 90s.
So even earlier. I mean, I moved there. I was born in 82, so we moved there 86. But honestly speaking, I don't really remember those times for
me. Yes, that's what I wanted
hard.
To ask you. Yes, did you see any big changes? Did you experience stuff? Or by the time you became really aware that the changes had happened?
I think I became aware maybe later, because when I went to school, it was exactly when it was happening. It was 89. So and before, I didn't really go to preschool, so I was more at home. So I didn't really experience any particular differences, you know. And then when it changed, the change was big that we started having the Western things. We had McDonald's.
Yes.
You know, when you're a kid, those things are really
important,
exciting.
Yes, we had the thing about the chocolate that you must have heard about here in Malta.
Yes, exactly. Those, or when there was the first Pizza Hut and we didn't know how it is, when they opened the first IKEA. You know, silly things, but for me as a child, I remember those. Things that I don't think were popular when I was very small. We didn't really go out to restaurants. I mean, you visit other people at home and you eat at home.
Okay.
But you, I think only maybe for a wedding, you would go to a restaurant.
Okay.
And then in the 90s, it was a different thing. You would go out. Maybe not that often, but once a week you can go for pizza, which was also in the beginning something different.
But so this is another similarity between Malta and Poland, apart from the religion, the Roman Catholic religion, and so many other similarities, I think.
Yeah, I think
between
so.
Between the two countries.
And between the people as well. I mean, I think Polish people are very friendly. Okay, maybe in the first go, they don't always come across, you know, those memes that you have the Eastern European and they don't know how to smile. It's not entirely true, but we are not like Americans that we smile for no reason.
Okay.
With no,
yes. And have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we are very generous and very, we like to invite people to our homes, and then we do our best. I mean, it's crazy how come we can, how much we can actually put into it, into being, show our hospitality.
You're a musician. That's your career, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
could you tell us a bit about your journey?
Yes, of course. So I went to the professional music school when I was 7 years old. So the system is a little bit different than here. So there was one, or I think at that time there was only one school, which combines normal subject and music subjects. You have to go through certain sets of auditions to get there, because there are not that many people. I mean, they accept from the whole city, I don't know, 40 people maybe per year.
Wow.
So I started in when I was 7 and continued till I was 19. So it was 12 years. So we had a bit different system. We have 8 years of primary and 4 years of lycée, or you would say high school.
Or lyceum, yeah.
Exactly. So so I spent 12 years there in the music school playing piano, which was my main subject. And even though I had some doubts, obviously, as you're growing up and, you know, other kids, especially in where I used to live, I'll go out and I have to stay at home and play piano every day, every day. I continue, and then I entered the Conservatory of Music in Łódź, where I spent another 5 years doing my master's degree in piano performance and chamber music. So.
And now, even here in Malta, you're a part of the National Orchestra, I believe.
No, not so much National Orchestra. I'm a pianist for the National Choir for Cor Malta.
Ah.
And with the MPO, I sometimes play if it's needed for auditions, or sometimes if they need an extra pianist, I'm invited to play. And I take part in different things on the island.
Indeed, recitals.
Recitals, solo recitals, chamber recitals. Take part in different festivals, like in Gozo, Gaulitana, or Victoria International Festival. So you name it. Now, during this last 12 years, I think I made appearance in each of them at least once or twice. So
yeah, you've built up a bit of a following, I assume.
I hope so. I mean, it wasn't easy, but yes, I started small from playing solo myself and with other colleagues, and nowadays, I'm trying to put up a couple of concerts a year, either solo or by inviting some of my Polish colleagues from Poland to showcase some different music that is maybe not so often heard here in Malta.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying my best.
Let's hear a piece of music that you've chosen for us. One of the pieces of music that I regularly ask the guests on Minayneyn Baranin, Malta Through International Eyes, to prepare to tell us the music that can tell us something about themselves, something about where they're from, something that they could explain their background, perhaps using this music, to whoever asks or whoever is interested. So you've chosen two pieces of music. Let's hear the first one.
So the first one, I chose a piece of classical music because it's close to my heart, obviously. So I have chosen a composition by Karol Szymanowski, who was a classical, late romantic, early contemporary composer, so late 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. And this piece is actually originally for piano. It's called Etude or Study in B-flat minor. But the version, maybe you will listen now, it's a version for orchestra. So it's a very emotional piece with beautiful sweeping melodies and this sort of piece of music that starts from nothing and then it grows to this culmination, which is like amazing. And then it again, everything dies out, finishing this soft piano pianissimo. I mean, every time I listen to it, I have like goosebumps because it's so beautiful and it's one of my favorite pieces. I played this for my diploma when I was graduated from the conservatory. And since then, I still try to put this piece in the repertoire. I mean, it's very emotional music, and I think it has a bit of Poland in the sense that Szymanowski was inspired by folklore, especially by the folklore of the mountains. Mm-hmm. He loved to stay in Zakopane. He even had a place that he used to rent. We still can visit that place. Now I forgot the name.
But Zakopane, I've been to Zakopane.
But in Zakopane, there is this really...
It's towards the south, I mean.
Yes, it's in the south. It's like our capital of the mountains. Mm. And there is still his house that he used to rent, and there are concerts that you can overlook the mountains. And we can think that maybe many pieces he wrote there, being inspired by the atmosphere, by the sound, by the folklore, by the music from the tavernas, by the music, you know, played around, by the nature. So I think his music really encompasses that all, because I know that the obvious choice would be Chopin, but I mean, Chopin we all know. And this is Szymanowski. I'm trying to push it a little bit in Malta. Even this year, I played twice his sonata for violin and piano with a colleague from Poland. And I'm trying to introduce people to it, even though it can be a little bit hard music. But this particular piece, it's on a lighter side. I think it can be liked.
Let's hear it. Thank you. was a fantastic piece of classical music. Once again, could we tell our listeners the composer?
Yes, it was Karol Szymanowski, his study in B-flat minor. I think it's number 3, opus 4.
Now, this is the bit where we have to be a bit diplomatic, but it's the kind of question that needs to be asked in this program, where we're not comparing cultures, but we're putting cultures side by side. And you've been living in Malta 12 years. You perform here. You're an integral part of the fabric of Maltese.
Yes.
Performing classical music nowadays. And you told us that you started off at age 7 going to a music school.
Yes.
You did your academic subjects as well, but music was the main point of the school, and you ended up coming out of that school and being a professional musician. While for many, many years, until relatively recently in Malta, even the big Maltese names that came out of Malta in the field of classical music, and we have had some very important players in the international scene who have punched above their weight, sort of thing, if you know what I mean. But this, despite the fact that we didn't have professional music schools until relatively recently, as in these kids would learn music after school in the evening, and then they went on to make a career in music, despite not having started off as with music as the main focus of their life from age 7.
Yes.
So from your perspective, as someone who has lived and breathed music all your life, what is the level of here in Malta and the people you play with on average? And I know this is a bit awkward, but that's the whole reason for having this program, to listen to other people's opinions. It doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, I might get angry at you and send you back to your country. No, but I think I find it interesting to hear different perspectives.
Of course. I mean, it's a very difficult question, especially for someone who is now rooted in Malta and has no intention to move really abroad, unless at some point to Poland, maybe for retirement.
Yes.
I mean, it really depends. It depends on the people. I think the problem in Malta and in the mentality of some people and even of some parents is that they don't consider music as a profession. They consider it as a hobby, which you do after hours, but you don't put as much importance as to the academic subjects. And therefore, you cannot then later on achieve those results. If you come once or twice a week for a lesson and maybe you practice 20 minutes a day, you're not going to really get anywhere. So that's the difficulty.
So you think that people like Carmen El Auri, you know, and I don't know, Joseph Kaleya, and these names, Shkembri, people like that, we have produced a number over the years. What did they do? Did they practice, perhaps instead of play football in the street like all their friends
did?
They must have practiced more than 20 minutes a day.
I'm sure they were very motivated inside.
Because during the day, they would still have normal school, didn't they, as kids, up till age 16?
I think they had to be very motivated, very, very driven to succeed, you know, that not all the students have. Even if they are talented, sometimes their parents don't consider it as serious enough. I mean, they, for example, some of my students, maybe they learn music till the age of 16, but then it's sixth form, I have more important things to do, I can't focus on it. And then when you ask them, are you going to university, you're going to do music? No. And it's really sad, because some of them, you see that they have potential to be very good musicians, and they have the brain for it, they have all the talent, and even they had the encouragement of the parents, don't get me wrong, but not to the point that you put everything for the music and you really continue it as a profession. I do understand it's because in Malta we don't have that many positions for musicians, let's be honest. I mean, they don't want to see their child being unemployed and maybe just freelancer and getting a gig every 2 months, because unless you get to the orchestra or you teach in a school or you play in banda or in festa, it's difficult. It is difficult. But on the other hand, I feel somehow that then the pot of the talented people is even slimmer because of that.
Do you mind if I ask your parents, when you expressed an interest in becoming a professional musician, were they completely supportive of you as well?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure I expressed that I wanted to be a professional musician when I was young. It was sort of chosen.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure I had much to say in the beginning, maybe later on, because my great-grandmother, she was a pianist. She was a piano teacher, so my grandmother's mom. And I think my grandmother had in her mind, you know, she will play piano. So she bought the piano even when I was, I think, 4 years old. And my mom was saying like, oh, come on, we don't even know if she has the ear for it, the talent. And my grandma was like, no, of course she has. Uh-huh. And then when I actually went for that sort of auditions to check how is your hearing and everything like that, they said, I'm very good and I should be playing violin because they put people who hear better for the violin because it's a harder instrument to master because you really base everything on your hearing. But then the piano was at home and my mom said, no way, I'm not going to stand the violin that after maybe 2 years you're going to get a note, right? So I didn't have a choice. And I started even a year before the school. So I was 6 when I started playing and then 7 when I went to school. But you need that support and you need the belief that, you know, you will succeed. I mean, in Poland at that time, maybe we also thought that, you know, you will finish conservatory and you will have a job. Nowadays, when I speak to my colleagues who are teachers, professor at the university, they said it's much different. It's a little bit becoming like in the Western Europe that it's treated more like a side thing. They have students who, for example, they're studying medicine and cello. I mean, okay, not sure how you can combine two because medicine is already such a demanding course.
Yes.
And then study cello as a side thing because they want to, but I don't think they see themselves in the profession. Which is really sad. But, I mean, the reality is that the classical world is a little bit getting smaller in a sense that we need to encourage younger people to come to the concert, to be interested. Otherwise, we just rely on people who are more or less my age or older.
It will eventually die out. Mm. But here in Malta now, there's more incentives, I think. There's Arts Council and more money being pumped into the system.
Definitely there is.
And there is a school, I believe, that...
I'm actually now working there.
Okay, tell us about that, yes. Just like there is a sports school,
yes,
which teaches academic
MBPA,
subjects.
The Malta Visual Arts and Performing School, where there are different subjects from the art scene. For example, you can study music, ballet, dance, drama. I think there is media as well. And this is a long side of the academic subject, so Maltese, English, biology, whatever. And this is the middle school, so this is from 11 to 16.
Yes.
So this is already a very, very good step forward. I think what needs to be done, there has to be school before and there has to be sixth form, because then those kids who are 16, they don't have anywhere to go.
To continue.
They can continue maybe in the Malta School of Music, which is also a great resource of wonderful teacher where I also been working for the last 12 years.
So that still exists, the Malta School of Music?
Yes, I hope it will exist longer.
It used to be called the Johann Strauss.
Exactly, now it's Malta School of Music.
Which was like an evening
thing. It's the afternoon one.
The afternoon one, yeah.
But this one caters to people of all ages. So, for example, you have students who are 7 years old starting there. But you can have also mature students who want to do it because there are different paths. There's more professional way and a leisure way without exams. So there are ways, but it still needs to grow. I think the selection of the students has to be a little bit more careful. And also the way of advertising for it, because I'm not sure everybody knows that you can really go and study music for free. You don't have to go to a private teacher. You can try to get to MVPA or to Malta School of Music, where you, until 16, you are studying for free. I mean, this is quite wonderful.
Yes.
Instead of going to a private teacher.
Yes.
So
what about facilities here in Malta, places where you can play, theatres? What's your opinion on that as someone who comes from Poland, where there are probably quite a few professional places specifically designed for classical music, etc.?
That's unfortunately, it's still a new thing here. I mean, especially for me as a pianist, to find a place where I can actually have a concert with a good grand piano, it's quite difficult because there are really few places I can just say, you know, that I would rent out to have a concert, that they have a good instrument, they have a good acoustic, that they're not a big hall, they're just right for a recital. And in Gozo, it's even more difficult to find a place with a grand piano. So that's something that should be addressed. I know it's not easy and instruments are expensive, but in comparison in Poland, in the schools, in the music schools, but in the music school, in the provincial towns, they have instruments that we can't dream of. I mean, they have instruments like Steinway, Fazioli, Bossendorfer.
New types of pianos.
Yes, these are types of pianos which are very expensive, but these are not in Łódź or Warsaw. We are talking about cities that you're not going to know where they are. That's what my friends tell me who live more in the countryside. And they tell me, like, for example, I recorded a CD in that school. I said, yeah, why in the school? Oh, because they have the new kawaii there. Like, wow. I mean, here I don't think we have any place that has a kawaii in a concert hall. So that's something that should be addressed. And those things, in Poland at least, they were received from some funds from European Union. So they weren't that the schools pay for it. So maybe
there has to be a vision to
have enough spaces.
And tap for funds as well.
Exactly.
To make this a reality.
Exactly.
So there are very few venues that you can perform professionally.
For example, there are all
those halls at St. James Cavalier.
But there is only one room. There is a piano room in St. James. So there is this room. There is a green room in the Piazza Teatro Real. That's another place. There is Malta Society of Arts. That's a good room as well. This is very good. And now the newly restored Sala Izuard in Manuel Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So these are four places in Valletta that have good pianos, you know. But still, that's not enough. I mean, realistically. and in Gozo, it's even more difficult because when I played at the festivals, it's either playing at the Kempinski Hotel or in the chapel at the back of St. George Square in Victoria. There is also a grand piano.
Okay.
And that's it. Mm. So it is a little bit difficult.
We'll conclude talking about music because we need to talk about other things as well. But very quickly, do you, like a lot of Maltese, dream of the Piazza Teatro Real being returned to national opera or to having an opera house here in Malta, even if it's not specifically at that place?
I think it would be wonderful. It doesn't have to be specifically at that place because I think to build it to the standard that we expect nowadays an opera house to be, it would be very difficult because you need a lot of space for an opera house. Mm. But a place for opera house, a place for an orchestra that actually they can call it home, that they have enough rehearsal space and a concert space, that would be amazing because it is difficult to organize things. For example, I'm currently in my final year at the university in the doctorate in music, in piano performance. And one of my exams was a concert with orchestra. So last June I played with MPO. And even the place where to play. So we can only play in Robert Zamut Hall. But realistically, it's even too small for orchestra and piano. So we had to really put the chairs in such a way, in such an awkward place to fit everybody. Because it wasn't possible. I mean, I myself not going to rent a Manuel Theatre for my recital. It's too much. So, I think it would be wonderful if it doesn't have to be just opera house, but a proper concert hall that can hold operas bigger than Mozart, because only Baroque and Mozart, the Manuel Theatre can hold. And a big orchestra. Not that we have to go to MCC or to Hilton for that.
Are you confident, though, that if such a place was created, that it would generate enough interest? I don't know, maybe even international festivals happening there. We have so many international things happening in Malta. Why not in classical music as well?
Of course, I mean, it would for sure spark some interest, but those things, they never just pay off from themselves. This is always has to be with the help of government.
Oh, government
all
grants.
Culture institutions in other countries, nobody survives just on being commercial, because otherwise you will be just playing what people want, the five pieces all over again. But I'm sure if it's such a space, you can rent it out for different occasions and at least it would pay off.
Okay.
I'm sure, and even on the classical scene, we have festivals, we have Baroque festival, but we don't have festivals that could take place, you know, and Festival of Symphonic Music because we don't have space to do it.
Okay. Now, I wanted to make a reference to your name, Julia Miller.
Yes.
It sounds like something from America or the UK. It's maybe somebody in Malta would be called Julia Miller as well, as you are, but you're Polish.
Yes.
Miller is not a Polish surname.
No, it's not a Polish surname. So it's my surname is from Austrian origins. So my great-grandfather, I think, was Austrian-Polish. Mm-hmm. And then the name was written with the U, with the dots, the umlaut, the German umlaut. Okay. And then there was change from U with the dots to I to make it more Polish. So Miller. And then when I was born, I think because my name, my last name is not that Polish, they wanted to choose something that will match it well. And I'm very happy with what they chose because it's very easy. I mean, I have friends who are Polish with the names like Skiska and it's impossible to pronounce.
All and those Zs and Ks and Gs.
Yes, and I can get along. Nobody knows really where I'm from. Okay, they can notice my accent, but they're not going to really pinpoint your Polish. So it's, sometimes it's a good cover.
Yes. And when you were young, were you aware of Malta? When were you first ever aware that Malta existed?
Well, I'm ashamed to admit I wasn't really aware of Malta.
It's fine.
I mean, I knew Italy. I knew there is Sicily as well.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think first time I was aware when we all joined European Union because we joined at the same time.
2004.
Exactly.
Yes.
So then we knew, oh, there's Malta as well. There's this country below below Sicily. So that was the first thing. And then the second time, after I graduated from conservatory, I used to work for a couple of years as a pianist in a piano trio on cruise ships, which something which was supposed to be one-time gig ended up in 4 years of
that
work.
That sounds interesting.
It was very interesting. And
Did you see a lot of interesting places?
Everything, basically.
We have to do a whole program about that.
Exactly. This is something I can talk about it, you know, nonstop. I mean, it's...
Did you travel the world?
Yes. So I did a lot of, I did world cruises, Africa, Asia cruises.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
South America, everything, basically.
And you got paid for it.
Exactly. Alaska, Antarctica, Mexico, everything.
Oh,
I've been 4 years, so it's been 6 contracts.
Okay, you're coming back from it. If you're about that one day.
I'm very happy to do so. So, but just coming back to the subject, actually, we were doing the Mediterranean Sea after the Grand Africa tour, and we stopped in Malta. And we had one person who worked on the ship, and he said, I'm from Malta, although he was Italian, so I'm not sure. But he said, I'm from Malta, and so beautiful, you have to get out. And I remember with my colleagues from the band, from the trio, we went out, we were like, oh my God, this place is amazing. Mm-hmm. And this was probably, I don't want to lie, but like 2010, 2009.
Those were your first thoughts?
Yes, and there was still the old buses, there was this still old arch when you go to Valletta.
Yes.
So it was magnificent. I was thinking like, what a place. I mean, I really fell in love with it. And yes, I was like really, it was like Italy, but different. And you could speak English. So it was really great.
So how did you end up living here? Actually, before you answer that question, let's hear your second piece of music, the one that you've chosen. And what is it?
So to balance out a little bit the classical music, I chose a music by a blues band called Jem. Jam like marmalade, but...
Okay. Polish band.
This is from the 80s. I think this song was written in 1982. And it's called Whiskey My Wife.
Okay.
So it's a typical blues band. But what is important that their lyrics not always just were about nothing. The lyrics had a lot of meaning. I mean, this one is a little bit more fun one. But there were other ones during the times of the 80s in Poland about the victory... About
the victory. You know,
because there was another song which is called A Dream of Victoria. And it was a play of the words like Victoria as a name and victory of getting out of the communism well. So so his lyrics are really deep. This one is more a fun one. Maybe what is not so fun later on when you... Because there's a beautiful movie about this about Riedel, the main singer. I mean, he died out of because of drugs and alcoholism. Mm. So obviously, in that case, the title "Whiskey My Wife" is not really great, but it shows, like, unfortunately, that the drugs and alcohol took over him. You know, that he considered them their his closest people. So, wow. But the music itself, as a blues, is really wonderful, and he has this particular voice. So I'm sure you can enjoy that.
Let's hear it. Mówią o mnie w mieście, co z niego za tym. Wciąż choci pijany, pewno nie wie, co to z tym. Trudny niedobytek, zajnik ciągle śpi. Czego szuka w naszym mieście? Idź do diabła, mówią ludzie, pełni snu. Kiedyś mądrzeć, po ich stronie być, spać w czystej pościeli, świeże mleko pić. Naprawdę chciałem mądrzeć i po ich stronie być. Pomyślałem więc po żonie, aby stać się jednym z nich, stać się jednym. Na oku haciendę wspaniałą, mówię wam, lecz nie chciała tam zamieszkać żadna z pięknych dam. Życie śmiały się wołają, wołają za mną wciąż. Bardzo ładny fragment pili, ale kiepski byłbyś ciebie mąż. Wiem, ci byłbyś ciebie mąż. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here on campus 103.7, Minai Nein Baranin, Malta through International Eyes. I'm Colin Fitz. My guest is Julia Miller from Poland. She's been in Malta 12 years. She's married to a Maltese man. We just heard the band The Jam from Poland, the blues band. That was an 80s song there. Great choice, thank you. Back to Malta. How did you end up coming to live here?
So after the cruise ship, after this adventure of a couple of years, I ended up with my partner in Ireland, because we were both working on a cruise ship, and he first went to Ireland. He was English. So I ended up in Dublin for around 2 years. Mm-hmm. But then at some point we got really fed up with the weather, got really depressed, and his job wasn't going so well. Some of his friends actually moved to Malta because he used to work in iGaming. So it was sort of an obvious choice. So at some point when we were already like really depressed, it was winter in Ireland and raining and gray, we came over to visit his friends. And I remember it was like week before the Christmas, and we were sitting on the balcony having coffee in the morning, and we're like, oh my God, I mean, I'm not leaving. And at that time, at least this was good 12 years ago, the prices were so cheap in comparison to Dublin. We were feeling like kings here.
Okay. So you've seen a massive price rise in the last 12 years?
Very big one. Okay. Very, very, very big. So because already Ireland was expensive. So coming here, it was a bit of a breath of fresh air, because everything was half the price or at least one third lower. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I think it's the same or even more than in Dublin.
Okay, go on.
So we decided, listen, nothing is really keeping us there. I mean, I was working there in the school, but we weren't that happy, and we decided to take the plunge and just come without jobs even. So we had some money saved, we had some interviews set up, and within a couple of weeks, months, we ended up living here. So that was a good choice, that I'm really happy to my ex because of that.
You broke up eventually?
We eventually broke up, and then after that, I was already here, I think, 5 years, and I was, this was a moment like, should I stay, should I go? Because nothing is really holding me. I mean, I had a job, but I didn't really have that many friends, because maybe mistake was I was in this very English-speaking bubble, so I never really concentrated on Maltese, and it was a particular crowd of people, you know? So I had thoughts that should I go back to Poland, but then go back to what, to start all over again? You know, it was a bit hard. So I decided, okay, I'm staying, and let's see what's going to happen. And I mean, you know, things are looking much better after that many years. I met my future husband. I decided to focus more on music, on taking it even more seriously, hence the university and starting recitals. So I'm very happy how it turned out.
Yes, and meanwhile, you got to know people, and the offers started coming in to play here, play
exactly
there,
and I started
collaborate
exactly mingling with more people from the local scene. So it was a really good break. It wasn't easy, because there was a time that I was on my own and had to support myself with my just one salary as a freelancer. It wasn't so rosy. But in the end, it was worth it.
Have you felt the need to learn Maltese at all?
Yes, many times. Actually, it's funny that you're saying it, because I had just an interview yesterday and I had to speak Maltese. And
really?
My Maltese is slowly getting better. I mean, I had already three attempts. I think this one might be the final. When I came here, I signed up straight away for the courses, because I thought, I like languages, why not? But it wasn't really taught in such a good way.
Okay.
Don't want to call names, but it was taught in a very old-fashioned way. And at that point, I just needed to know how to understand spoken Maltese and speak, not really reading and writing. It wasn't that level. So I left it. And then I tried by myself. I did go into it. I did even some online course. There is this, I don't remember the author, but there are those green books. And this is the Maltese for different reasons. So you have the words, you have the conversation. So it's very useful, but it's very good to have a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, actually, I was attending the course, summer course, because I was a bit forced from work to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, because I mean, I should. And that helped me. And I'm also taking private lessons, so to improve it.
So you can say a few sentences in Maltese.
Ani prova nit kelem bil Malti, imma shikultant manistaj imuige bil Malti.
Okay, massib shil kelma, forsi.
Iva.
That's good. That's pretty good, though. So it's coming along nicely. A bit
the
more
understanding
practice
is much better than the speaking. speaking because I still have to take time to actually put the words together. You know?
So. Okay. Okay, very good. Now we're coming to the end of the program. Just a few questions to conclude.
Okay.
Polish food, your favorite Polish food and food that you would introduce someone who's never been to Poland, doesn't know anything about Poland.
So it was a very difficult choice, to be honest, because, okay, the obvious choice is pierogi, because everybody hears about pierogi, it's a type of ravioli that we have. But I thought, okay, this is in Poland, but also in Eastern Europe, there are pielmeni, it's a similar type of food. I thought more about the gołąbki, which literal translation is pigeons. But it has nothing to do with pigeons. These are cabbage rolls. Cabbage rolls which are filled with mincemeat and rice. Mm. And then they're served with tomato sauce.
Mm, nice.
So something similar maybe you have in Greece when they've stuffed actually the vine leaves.
I think I tasted something in Moldova as well.
Exactly. But each household has a bit different recipe for it. So
Maltese food that you like?
I like actually the rabbit, but not the one that you make so much, the pasta. I like those. My husband makes this like the belly rabbits in the tomato sauce because I don't like the bones.
Okay.
So he makes traditional rabbit, but without the bones for me, with potatoes and in tomato sauce that I really love. And I love fish. I mean, the fish that you have here, lampuki, but even the other ones, every time I go to the fishmonger, I learn some new names.
Did you manage to prepare something about maybe a TV show or a film or a documentary or a piece of literature, perhaps?
I have both. I'm prepared for that, so I can quickly tell you.
So our listeners can, if they want to find out more about Poland, they would read or watch what you're going to tell us.
Okay, so firstly, a piece of literature. I mean, Poland is actually famous for great literature. We have a lot of Nobel Prize winners, like recently Olga Tokarczuk, but even before we have Wisława Szymborska, Czesław Miłosz, these are poetry. And so there is a plenty of literature that you can choose. But something a little bit maybe lighter and written contemporary but historical is by Szczepan Twardoch. Its Polish title is Król, which means King of Warsaw.
Okay.
So this is happening in the beginning, just before the war, the Second World War, beginning of the war, about a Jewish head of the, like the, what do you call it, of the gangster life in Warsaw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something already a little bit different because we don't really associate Jewish being gangsters so much.
Yes, of course.
And it's whole scene of Warsaw showed there. It's really, really interesting. So another one similar, it's another author, now I forgot the name, it's from who writes about Wrocław between the wars as well.
Okay.
But this one is even made into a series. So it's The King of Warsaw.
The King of Warsaw.
I think it was in Poland on Canal Plus.
But you'd probably be able to find it with subtitles.
I'm sure nowadays you would find it.
Streaming service. Okay.
And the other thing, if I can quickly just say about the the TV show, I mean, again, movies, because we have a great film school, we have a lot of great movies, but something which would show more contemporary history of Poland, and it's available on Netflix. There is this series called Roist, or I think in English it's called The Mire, M-I-R-E. Mm-hmm. And it's in three seasons. It happens in the 80s, 90s, and then there is the Roist Millennium, the 2000. So this is, again, a bit of a crime story. There is this investigating journalist who is investigating the death of a prostitute. And then the other history of the times, not even of the 80s, but during the war of that particular part of Poland. They never really say where is it in Poland. We can just sort of figure it out. But it's amazing to see exactly the 80s, things that I started to remember. Okay, yes, that's how it was. Those cars were there. Then the 90s, the change.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2000.
Okay.
So it's a really great series.
Nice snapshot.
And because it's on Netflix, it's with subtitles, so you can easily watch it. So
fantastic.
Well recommended.
And to conclude, two questions.
Yes.
What you dislike about Malta? What you wish would change?
It's difficult. It's diplomatic because you don't know what to choose. Not that there are many things I don't like, because I think as an expat, you go through phases of loving the place, hating, and then just leaving it there and accepting. I think sometimes the time that you have to spend doing the office works to try to solve some things.
Bureaucracy.
I mean, okay, I might be wrong because I haven't been living in Poland for such a long time. It might be worse or the same, but to be able to do something here, it's sometimes very difficult with the institution being closed by 12:30, for example, or being on hold forever. I mean,
certain customer service issues.
It's very difficult to that's one thing. The other thing, but this is nothing to do with people. It's more the climate that in winter for me is sometimes cold at home. I mean, I'm used to having central heating, and here we don't have it, and I'm freezing sometimes, because if it's below 13 degrees at home, for me it's really hard. And at my mom's place in December can be 28 because she has central heating. It's something that it's hard for me. And because I have a piano at home, it also affects the instrument a lot, the changes of the temperature. Okay. So it means I have to call the piano tuner more often, and it's more costly to really maintain it to the good standard.
And the things you love?
Well, I love the sea. I love the weather, despite that it's sometimes too hot. I love spring and autumn, and even early winter when it's not too cold. I love the sky, that the sky is blue. You know, those things are so important. You wake up and it's blue. You want to do things. And I really enjoy the seafood, the culture of food, and also the culture of not, despite that Maltese people are really very hardworking and they seem to have all four or five jobs and going from one place to another, they still seem to find, to strike balance, to have time for themselves, for their hobbies, or for their side job, which is actually a hobby. I'm really impressed with the fact that many people have a normal job and then they do something else on the side to a very high level. Like even in the music industry, it's the same thing. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not sure I would do that, you know? So that's very impressive. So
would you ever consider becoming Maltese, like, officially?
I am considering it,
Or perhaps you already consider yourself Maltese?
Well, I'm considering myself Polish, but adopted Maltese, I think. And I am planning to apply probably at some point for the citizenship, just to be on the safe side, because you never know what can happen in the future. But I would always keep my Polish passport as well, because I feel I still belong to Poland in some ways.
And you feel very much at home here?
I think so. I don't think with my husband we have any plans. I mean, his plans of retiring is Poland, which I don't know if we will succeed or not. But we are very happy that thanks to my heritage, we really go very often and we visit. And now Poland is part of his life too. So it's great to have sort of two countries.
He's taken very well to Poland.
Yes, he loves it. He tries to learn the language, which similarly, like Maltese, is not very, very easy. And every time we go, and we go at least two times or sometimes three times a year, we try to go to different places. Even with him, I'm discovering Poland more, because even this summer we went to places I've never been to. So I was like, oh, wow.
Julia Miller, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on this edition of Minajnein Baranin, Malta Through International Eyes. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. It was really great to talk about Poland and Malta.
And before we go, we'll remind our listeners that you're going to be having a website very soon.
Yes.
Look Julia Miller up online.
Yes, juliamiller.eu. There will be the website, and there will be all the updates about concerts, because at the moment I'm in the process of just working hard towards my final exams at the university next year. But there will be some things lined up, and you can be up to date on my website.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.